Hello, enlightened viewers, and welcome to Science and Spirituality. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the first steps on the moon, which were taken on July 20th, 1969, by American astronaut Neil Armstrong. Humankind has celebrated the moon throughout history. The Mid-Autumn or Moon Festival is a colorful tradition observed in many Asian countries. This popular festival takes place on the 15th of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. This year, the festival occurs on October 3rd. At night, when the brightest and fullest moon of the year showers its glorious light upon the earth, family members and friends gather to admire the moon, enjoy mooncakes, and attend various performances. On today's episode, we will explore both scientific aspects of the moon and humankind's historical relationship with this heavenly body. Joining us will be Ivan Semenuk, a science journalist in residence at the Dunlap Institute for Astronomy and Astrophysics at the University of Toronto, Canada, and Dr. Alan Binder, a renowned lunar and planetary scientist with over 40 years of experience working with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, and European space programs. He is the founder and director of the Lunar Research Institute and was the principal investigator for the Lunar Prospector mission, which mapped the moon using a small unmanned spacecraft from a low polar orbit.
We still have many questions about how the moon formed, but at the moment the current thinking is that a very large object, perhaps as large as Mars, collided with Earth very early in its history, just as Earth itself was forming. A collision with another protoplanet occurred. That collision was so vast that it liquefied the planet's surface, splattered lots and lots of material out into space. Some of it was lost forever, but enough to form this large object orbiting around the Earth, and that's where we think the moon came from.
Earth is evolving all the time. The continents are still growing and moving around, so on and so forth. The moon, being a smaller body, had less internal energy in the beginning. It was very active in the first half a billion years.
Have you ever wondered about the other or far side of the moon and what it looks like? Why is it that we are not able to view it from Earth?
And if you imagine this as the Earth, and this is the moon, so with the face facing the Earth, if the moon didn't spin at all, then by the time it got around to the other side, the face would be facing the other way. So in order to have the situation we have, the moon actually does have to spin on its axis, but very slowly, and that spin has to be exactly in tune with its orbit. So as it's spinning, it is also orbiting, and the same face keeps facing us. Now, that's not a coincidence. It would seem an incredible coincidence that the moon's rotation would be exactly timed to its orbit. There is a gravitational connection between Earth and moon that keep it this way. And in fact, it would take more energy for the moon to spin faster or slower.
The interaction between the moon and the Earth is very subtle.
The moon is in locked rotation. And that's simply because the moon raises tides on the water. It also raises tides on the Earth. You don't know it, but you and I go up and down about a meter twice a day because of Earth tides. The gravity of the moon, you know, makes the Earth deform too. And so the moon is slightly egg-shaped because of the tidal effects of the Earth. That slows down the rotation of the moon. It didn't take very long, a few thousand years when the moon was formed, and it was locked. Now the Earth is continually slowing down. The day is getting longer because of the lunar tides. And so every once in a while they say there's a leap second because the Earth is slowing down. Back when multicellular life got going nearly 600 million years ago, the day was about 20 hours. And before that it was even much shorter.
There are many dark regions that are visible on the moon's surface, and from ancient times, these mysterious places fueled the human imagination as to what secrets they held.
When you look up at the moon, you see the dark areas. Those are lava plains that have filled deep impacts.
They're called maria. Maria means sea in Latin. So in the old days, people thought they might be oceans or seas. Later on with the telescope, it was obvious that they weren't oceans, but some kind of low-lying plains that were smoother and the other areas were rougher and brighter. There was a lot of curiosity about what would be seen on the far side. It wasn't until Luna 3, a Soviet spacecraft did an orbit around the back of the moon and started sending those pictures back, that we had the first glimpse of the moon's far side. And it was a surprise. It's not exactly like the near side. It doesn't have all those big Mario.
There are many stories and legends regarding the moon. In some cultural traditions, the moon is known as our mother. In recent decades, scientists have gradually realized the extent of the influence of the moon upon life on Earth. When we return, we will feature more from our interviews with Ivan Semenuk and Dr. Alan Binder regarding the moon. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
People have the misconception that we went to the moon, we must know all about it. But the moon surface area is equal to North and South America combined. And so there's a lot of exploring to do.
Welcome back to Science and Spirituality. In commemoration of this year being the 40th anniversary of humankind's first visit to the moon and the upcoming observance of the Moon Festival on October 3rd, today we are exploring both the scientific aspects of and humankind's historical relationship with this heavenly body.
The American Indians didn't talk about the year, they talked about many moons ago. The month, the word is a derivation of the moon. Clearly our biological cycles, the female cycle, is based on the month, and the reason for that is very simple. It goes back to the tides and the fact that since multicellular life got going, the number of days in a month has been almost always about 30. Now the day has gotten a little bit longer and the month has gotten a little bit longer, but the days per month has been about the same.
The earliest calendars that we're aware of, some of them which could go back to the Stone Age, seem to be calendars that keep track of the moon's phases. And we know that every culture in the world at every time has had some way of keeping track of the moons. So clearly the moon is very important, and many religions base their calendars more on the moon than on the sun. The Chinese calendar is based on the moon.
The moon has been called the mother of life on Earth. Scientists say the heavenly body played a critical role in the emergence and development of life on our planet.
So the obvious way in which the moon affects the Earth is through the tides. Because of the moon's gravity, it causes the oceans to rise and fall. And that actually creates some remarkably suitable environments for certain kinds of life on Earth. All the life that lives in the tidal boundaries between land and ocean. And of course, these are crucial areas in the history of life on Earth because this is where animals first emerged from the sea and came to colonize land. And it could be that it's in the tidal regions where life first began, although it's not quite clear how life began on Earth. So it's hard to imagine what the story of life on Earth would be without the moon, simply because of the tides. Probably there would be some kind of life on Earth, but it might be very different.
When primitive life in the Cambrian began to evolve and get more complex and form trilobites and all that, every rhythm of the sea, the tides, was this monthly cycle. And so, as you know, all the sea animals, you know, are tuned to the tides. Life began to leave the oceans and go on to dry land.
Scientists have also found that the moon plays a vital role in maintaining the stability of Earth's climate.
There's another more subtle way in which the moon affects Earth. It helps stabilize the tilt of Earth's axis. Earth's axis is tipped a little bit towards the sun, and as Earth orbits around the sun, that's what gives us our seasons, winter and summer and back and forth each year. The tilt of the Earth's axis is quite stable, and the moon helps keep it that way. The moon's position makes it harder for the Earth's axis to kind of tip all over the place and change over time. If the moon were not there, it's been speculated that the Earth's climate would be much more volatile because there would be times where the North Pole would be pointing almost down where the equator is, and there are other times where it would be different. So the climate on Earth over billions of years would have potentially been more extreme without the moon, and maybe it would not have been easy for life. Maybe it would have been impossible for life.
Even today, scientists' knowledge of many aspects of the moon is by no means complete. There is still so much about this heavenly body waiting to be discovered.
The moon's a big place, and it has a complex history, not as complex as the Earth, of course, but nevertheless it's a very complex history, and so it will take decades, if not centuries, to unravel everything about the moon. As you know, geologists have been running around the Earth as geologists for, you know, 200 or 300 years, and we're still at it. So there's a lot of work to be done.
Thank you for your company today on this episode of Science and Spirituality. Please join us next week for part two of our program, where we will continue our discussion of the moon with Dr. Alan Binder and Ivan Semenuk. Up next is Words of Wisdom following noteworthy news. May we all find everlasting inner peace and tranquility.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/SS.